This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim with another daily tafsir. Alhamdulillah, we're doing juz a day and we're at juz number 15. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, we've reached the middle of the Qur'an. The Qur'an is made and comprised of 30 juz. The beginning of the juz is the beginning of Surah Al-Isra. And Surah Al-Isra is a majestic surah. It is a surah which gets its name, it has two names, Bani Israel, meaning the children of Israel, or the name Al-Isra, the ninth journey. And the first verse is a declaration by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of His magnificence, how majestic and glorious is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who transported His servant, His slave, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من المسجد الحرام, from the sacred house in Mecca, إلى المسجد الأقصى, to the distant mosque. And the distant mosque is the second mosque that has been dedicated for worship anywhere on this earth by mankind. The first being in Mecca al-Mukarramah, the second being in Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa is the first Qibla that the believers used to turn to when they migrated to Medina. They used to face Masjid al-Aqsa and they would turn their prayers and devotions toward it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to turn his face to the direction of the Kaaba, which is a nobility to the Kaaba and to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we studied in Surah Al-Baqarah in the first juz of the Qur'an. Masjid Al-Aqsa holds an important place for us as Muslims. It's one of those contested qariya and cities and villages that has always been under siege and conquest. Yet Allah says, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهَا. It is a city that I surrounded with my mercy. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes is something forgotten on us, can be found in the hardship that He tests us in that requires our patience and devotion and perseverance that leads us to higher places in Jannah. And therefore the surah has a number of different facets. The first of them about the night journey of the Prophet ﷺ, that it was a real journey, transported him physically and spiritually in body, mind, body and soul from Mecca to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem the ascension to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had a meeting with all of the prophets there. They were brought to life and they prayed behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ. Many miracles were exchanged and shown to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a lot of what would unfold to his ummah was explained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's at that time that in his night ascension, al-mi'raj to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he conversed with Allah and received the 50 prayers, then brought down to 5 prayers that we perform today. The second section of the surah speaks directly to Bani Israel about some of the dysfunction that they had entered into. And it speaks about it through the usage of the story of Musa and how far Bani Israel at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Israelites had strayed from that ideal that was sent to Moses alayhi salam, about the corruption that they've caused in the land. And in foretelling, Allah says that they will commit that corruption again and they would return into that masjid again and they would try to seize it, but eventually, al-aqibah, the place is always for the believers. So there's the eminence of a Masjid al-Aqsa, the corruption that is caused in and around it, some of it which we see today, and that it always be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who seek His face and practice righteousness. May Allah make us worthy of that. Allahumma ameen. And fourth, to compare the two realms, the worldly life and the spiritual life, the life of the next life. And therefore you see that between this earth and the ascension, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the bridge in the person of the Prophet ﷺ's person as being the modality of a sirat al-mustaqim that can lead us from this earth up into the heavens, to the highest heavens, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment. Then Allah cautions us, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةِ أَجَلَّنَّهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءَ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ. The one who is earnest and doesn't want to hold on and restrict their lustful gratifications in this life, doesn't want to wait for the next life and the happiness that it entails, will give them this worldly life and will give them their pleasure and they'll enjoy themselves and they'll do their drugs and drink and women and all of that kind of thing. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. But on the Day of Judgment, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ. The one who seeks the next life, وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, and works for it and rushes for it the way that they should, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, with faith and piety, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Then they will see that their hard work will be thanked by me on the Day of Judgment. So that's an admonition. that there is a next life and a real life, and you have to work for it and work hard. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, from verse number 22, 23, 24, till about 35, he begins speaking about 20 commandments. And he gives many commandments. This is the third section of Surah Bani Israel, Surah Al-Isra. And from those commandments are things like, do not associate partners with Allah. Don't be disobedient to Allah. Don't be disobedient to your parents. Give the relatives their rights. Give the rights to the needy, to the traveler, to the wayfarer. Be humble with the words you choose. Don't use vulgar words and obscenities. Spend from your wealth in moderation in that which is even in the path of God. Don't be extravagant. Worry about your financial future by causing you to take the life of your young children, infanticide and abortions. Allah speaks about not to consume the wealth of the orphans, and Allah speaks about fulfillment of promises. وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا. Fulfill the covenants and the promises you make, because you will be questioned about it. وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Measure things with justice and be equitable. وَلَا تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ I don't speak about Allah any word except that you know is a surety of knowledge. Don't say this person is in trouble, this person is in happiness, this person, this is halal, this is haram. Don't make declarations that you have no surety of knowledge about. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk upon the earth in an arrogant, proudful, boastful state. إِنَّكَ لَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. You're never going to reach the heights of the mountains. Who do you think you are? And then Allah begins to give instructions to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Near the end of Surah Al-Isra, Allah begins speaking about how the Prophet will be protected from his enemies, to say a good word even to those who use bad words and have hostility towards you, O Muhammad, that Allah will keep the Prophet firm and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist him, that Allah will establish, commands him to establish the prayers, to pray the night prayers, وَأَقْمِ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَى دُلُوقِ, pray into the early morning hours. يَجْعَلَكَ رَبُّكَ يَرْفَعَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. In that way, you will arise to that praiseworthy station, which we ask Allah to do for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time we hear the adhan. Allah answers the questions, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They question you about the soul. They ask you about the miracles, and whether you will bring them more miracles and bring down the Quran, and what makes you so special. All of these are addressed in the surah. And that then Allah finalizes it by saying, Allah is enough for you. جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَذَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. Eventually Allah will show the truth, and Allah will cause falsehood to be destroyed. The truth will always be manifest. Allah speaks about Musa and the nine signs that were given to him, and Allah speaks about the Quran as being greater than anything that was sent to all those who preceded them. And that's how the surah comes to an end, with a sajda that would be prayed in it. Then Allah begins Surah Al-Kahf. And Surah Al-Kahf is a surah that is recited every Friday by faithful Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ says the one who recites it is protected from the Dajjal. It is a surah where when you recite it from one Jumu'ah to the next, it fills your week with light, and it will be light for you on the Day of Judgment. Surah Al-Kahf has four essential lessons, and it speaks about the four great trials that many of us as human beings will endure. Some of us will have one or two or three. Not all of us will have all four. And Allah speaks about these four trials as being a trial in matters of faith, that you'll be tested in your iman. And number two, in wealth and prosperity and in greed and in the lawful means of assuming it. Number three, in knowledge and practicing what you know and fulfilling it and living a life according to dictates and teachings of revelation. And fourth and finally, the power of authority and prestige and governance and having authority over people and power. And all of those are addressed. In the end of Juz number 15, the first three of those tests manifest themselves in three stories. The people of the cave, which is where the surah gets its name, Surah Al-Kahf, and then the man with the two gardens, and Musa and Al-Khidr. The fourth story is Dhil Qarnayn, which begins the next Juz. I hope you join me for another Juz a Day daily tafsir with your brother Yahya Ibrahim. This was Juz number 15. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.